Blessed are the weird people.
Poets.
Misfits.
Painters.
Writers.
Troubadours.
For they teach us to see the world through different eyes.
This is Blessed Are the Weird on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Jacob Nordby.
Hello. Hello, my friends. We are back for the very first live show here of 2014, and what a blindingly fast year 2013 turned out to be. It was the, you know, kind of like Dickens with the Tale of Two Cities, the best of times and the worst of times. It was the slowest of years and the fastest of years at the same time. So I am thrilled to be starting a new year with all of you, blessed Weirdians across the world, wherever you might find yourselves. And we're actually picking up where we left off, because the last live show we attempted in 2013 was with my good friend and inspiring speaker, author, long list of accomplishments we'll talk about in a minute, Paul Boynton. And so we are thrilled to have him back, because that last show was just not meant to be. So in the intervening time, the holidays have come and gone, and lots of wonderful things. And Paul has gone to Key West, and now he's back in snowy New Hampshire. And so here we all are back together. So before I bring Paul on, though, for those few of you who might not know who he is, because he has such a beautiful, warm, wide presence here in the land, Paul is the award-winning CEO and motivational speaker. He has degrees in social work and counseling. He's also the author of Begin With Yes and Beginnings, A Daily Guide for Adventurous Souls, second edition. And he's working on a new book, which we'll talk about in a minute. But today's show is called Coming Out as Yourself. And it picks up from a conversation Paul and I had on a different show last year. And I wanted to really go there today because I feel like it's such a critical thing. All right, Paul, I've been talking enough. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Hey, it's great to be here. I always love talking to you, Jacob, whether it's in person or on the radio. So let's go.
So, Paul, you must have a beautiful tan right now. Is that true?
No, you know what? I say out of the sun. I wear hats and sunscreen, so you wouldn't know that I'd been anyplace warm.
Oh, all right. Well, I just had this image of you and Michael there on the sands and, you know.
No, Michael came back nice and brown, but I came back just as white as I left New Hampshire, so.
Well, good. Well, so we started talking in our last time we had a show, Paul, and something happened where you talked about coming out, and it's been interesting for me to go back and do a bit of research on you and your life, and I realized a couple things. And then I'm teaching this course right now called the Creativity Unboot Camp, and one of the dominant themes which has emerged in there is coming out of the cave. And so I'm really happy, actually, that our show that we tried to do before the holidays didn't happen, because I have some more understanding of why this is so important now. But so this metaphor of coming out of the cave, but your real life experience is what I want to ask you about today. So you came out as a gay man, and this was later in life. Can you tell us about how that happened, how it emerged, and whatever else you feel like is important?
Sure. I think that, first of all, I think that the whole metaphor of coming out gets attached to gay men and women who are revealing themselves as being gay or lesbian or transgender. But the bigger picture, I think, is something that everyone can relate to, and that is showing up as who you really are, which almost none of us do, whether it's an issue about sexuality or whatever. But my own experience was I was married for a very, very long time to a wonderful woman. I had three kids. I now have four grandchildren and a grand puppy that down in Florida that my youngest son just got. And I actually had a pretty wonderful life, but I grew up in, I'm actually 65, almost ready to be 66, and grew up in a time when there was very little sort of certainly self-awareness on my part, but very little being talked about in the rest of the world. So I grew up in kind of as a gay person without any context, without any examples in the world that I could identify with. And so I actually was in the closet in part because I was afraid to come out, but in part because I really didn't understand who I was or what I was about, especially from a sexuality standpoint. So for me, it was, I think as the world changed, influenced my my coming out, and also me just sort of growing into myself and growing more comfortable. So it's certainly, you know, when I tell people my story, I don't want to minimize the struggle that it was for my kids and for my former wife, who has since passed away. We were separated for about 12 years, and about 3 years ago she passed away from cancer, and we maintained a very close bond. In fact, my book Begin With Yes is dedicated to her. She was a beautiful person, and so we went through our share of struggles, nothing like the struggles that so many gay men and women have to go through. And so here I am, a much older man now, having been out of the closet for probably 12 years or so, and continuing to sort of grow into myself, which I think, don't you, Jacob, that's sort of a lifelong process. It's not something that has an end point at any certain point, but it's an evolutionary process.
Yeah, without any question. And that's well said, Paul. And you know, I love that you're helping us bridge the gap here between, I mean, it's so easy for people to say or think, well, okay, they have to deal with their sexual orientation or this major life change of some kind, but it doesn't really apply to me over here living my life and revealing or figuring out who I am, because that's not the same thing. But what I'm hearing you say is it's finding out and revealing who we really are is very much the same thing. Is that true?
I really do think that is true, and I think it's almost also universally true, and you may have more insight this than I do, because I'm not sure why, but I do feel like most people listening to this would agree that they grew up feeling like there was some part of who they really were that they needed to keep hidden or protect the rest of the world from.
Why? Then, why is that? Why is that?
I wish I actually knew. I think that sense of be quiet, act a certain way, all the kinds of things that are well-intentioned from a parenting standpoint begin to communicate to us that how we are in an uncensored way, there's something wrong with. And then we sort of, instead of using that as a cue as to how to behave in certain situations, I think we overreact to that and take that on as if there really is something wrong fundamentally with who we are. And then we begin showing up not as we are, but as we think people want us to be or expect us to be. And you can't do that, Jacob, without it impacting your sense of self-confidence and your sense of self-esteem. And I think the most significant factor is that if you're not who you really are, whether it's a gay issue or some other issue, then you are withholding yourself from other people. You're not letting them love you as you really are, and so the love is never sort of a complete love. And not only that, when you're in whatever closet you've created for yourself, you're not in a position to fully love other people. So it interrupts that sort of spontaneous and beautiful, I think, inherent nature that we all have to love other people.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing you say is by not discovering or recovering, if you will, who we really are, remembering it, and then getting the boldness to start to reveal it a piece at a time or all at once or whatever, we're actually not, it's simply not possible to live a rich, full life from behind that shield. Would you say that's true?
Right. I think that's definitely true. Now, I think many of us have kidded ourselves as to what is a rich, full life. And so it's possible to be in the closet, in whatever closet you choose, and feel reasonably content because you actually don't know how much you're missing.
Ooh, well said. Okay. So you spent a lot of years Would you say that was the case for you? Just feeling reasonably content, or?
Yeah, I think that I was reasonably content, and I was kind of a lovable person, I'd like to think, and I was a very loving person. But Jacob, think about this. If no one who loved me knew that I was gay, then did they really love me?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say they loved the parts of me that I let them see, but they didn't get to, they didn't have the opportunity. I withheld that from them, the opportunity to really love me as I am. And I've discovered since I've come out that, that people have, for the most part, and I say for the most part, but truthfully, I can't think of any real exceptions, have actually, their love for me has deepened. If they loved me before, they love me even more deeply now.
So, Paul, one thing that you've clearly just so deeply processed the experience of revealing yourself and sharing yourself with the world. I mean, I can just feel that there's not this wound there. But was there ever, before you finally made, you know, this revelation, was there a point at which you really felt a lot of fear, or was it pretty smooth for you?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's... fear is probably not a strong enough word. So I think that it was terrifying. And so that's a really great question and a really great point, because if for me I'm spending the many more years of my life in the closet, then that means I'm spending many more years of my life terrified of people discovering who I really was. And which is ironic, because who I really was is who I really am. And that's kind of a lovable, nice guy. So it was a misguided fear, but it was terrifying for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So, and because I like to make sure we read the minds of people, Paul, who are listening in, and again, whether it's a question of sexual orientation or whether it's, you know, leaving some relationship that no longer works, or a job that's, you know, long outgrown, or whatever the case might be. Sometimes people like you are just, you know, you're so bright and your presence in the world is warm. And I think people just make the assumption, and I can read the minds out there right now saying, well, yeah, of course it was easy for him. And of course he could do it, because that's just him. And he never has those kind of challenges. But I'm hearing you say, no, actually, terror was part of the process.
Absolutely. In fact, if you can imagine a person that lived as long as I did without speaking the truth to even one person, you can begin to sense how much fear was involved in my own mind. And so the part of me that is a little bit, I think, not maybe typical, is that my experience of coming out was relatively gently. My friends basically were very warm and welcoming about it. My family, after an initial adjustment, I was in Florida a couple of months ago, and my granddaughter introduced me to her classmates. She's in high school. She goes, this is my gay grandfather. And so I've been very fortunate in that I've had this incredible amount of acceptance, and that doesn't always happen. And historically hasn't happened to a lot of people. So I have a great respect for people who have had a much more challenging time of it than I. And actually, I sometimes, and I understand this, feel like a certain amount of anger maybe, or resentment that I stayed in the, by some other of my gay friends who sort of resent the fact that I stayed in the closet so long and let them do some of the heavy lifting, because a lot of people before me did a lot of heavy lifting. It's much easier to come out now than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You know, people like Ellen DeGeneres, who's one of the most well-loved entertainers in the whole world, did not have an easy time coming out. And there was a lot of pushback. She lost her television show, her sponsors, and so she definitely rebounded, and in a beautiful, wonderful way. But so lots of people that went through more difficult times than I did made it much easier for me. So I'm very grateful to those people. And I recognize now that in some small way, you and I and other people who are more forthcoming about what's going on for us in our lives right now are making it easier for other people to do the same thing. So it's just a big circle, isn't it?
It is indeed, Paul. And, you know, I'm interested to shift into the, you know, I like to also deal with what's in it for me when it's for the people listening, you know, because I know that's what we're all tuned to at some level in life is, you know, okay, so because of this information, so what? So I'm interested to know if people are thinking, all right, if I take the journey to come out again at whatever life is asking me to reveal about myself, why is it worth it? What happens if I go there?
Sure. I think for me it was it's on one hand easy to stay in the closet because it is difficult to come out. But on the other hand, when you're in the closet not revealing who you are, then so much of your energy goes into protecting the image or the you that you've held up as a mask or whatever. And all of a sudden, there's no more pretending. And the pretending takes such a toll and takes so much energy. I spent my whole lifetime, Jacob, having conversations about my life and talking about the person I was seeing, not the man I was seeing. When people would say, what did you do on the weekend? It would take so much energy to describe what I did in the weekend without revealing that Michael and I went, I mean, in this case, Mike, I had come out before I met Michael, but I think you get the point. It's like guarding that secret, whatever it is, which is most people, because they have their own secrets, really don't have much energy to worry about your secrets, but we imagine that they do. And so it takes so much energy. And even in my work, because I'm a nonprofit of a big agency and have a board of directors, I've gotten nothing but sort of appreciation and support. And it puts things into perspective. The fact that I'm a gay man is almost irrelevant to most things that I do in my life. Mm-hmm. It really is.
And I, for one, am just thrilled to see that the world is shifting into that understanding.
Absolutely.
that's the case. I think it just feels really good that that's actually becoming, like, I look at my children, Paul, and they don't, like my generation, so your generation was, you know, steeped in certain beliefs. My generation, and yours shook things up. I mean, the hippies and that whole,
yeah,
weather. Were you a hippie or not back in the day?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
Well, good on you. But you guys shook things up. My parents were, you know, my mom was right in the middle of Haight-Ashbury there, right in the middle of the tie-dye, the whole thing, Summer of Love. And I appreciate the fact that she and your generation really shook things up. Now, the world wasn't ready to be shaken up and let it stay that way, so some things kind of reformed. But what I see is that my generation, the Generation X, we're the kind of the last ones who carried around some vestiges of those beliefs. My kids, Paul, there's no explanation. We don't have to explain anything about it's the people who go before who think they have to explain anything when it comes to the, like, my kids don't ever ask, hey, is that person gay and should we trust them or anything? Thank goodness that's not part of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there's been dramatic changes. And I think, in fairness to the people that are listening that came out younger or earlier than I did, the world had, by the time I came out, the world had changed quite a bit. It certainly changed quite a bit more in the last 4 or 5 years. And so, but there'll always be something that people will focus on as a way to hold people down or hold people back. And I think that's unfortunate, but I'm not sure what the next thing will be. But I fear that there will always be something. So we have to work against it. And I think our kids, we can feel a great sense of hope with our young people because they really have a much broader sense of accepting other people. And the world has gotten more diverse. The world has gotten smaller. And so there's still plenty of work to do, But I think we've made great, great progress.
Well, I do too. And I, you know, a friend of both of ours, Paul, Barb Black, wrote a little piece. Yes. She's in my creativity unboot camp. We call it the unboot camp.
So, I've heard good things about that, Jacob. A lot of my the people that I interact with are in that class. So I'm excited about the work that you do.
Oh, that's one thing. And thank you for sharing it, Paul. And you know, Barb wrote this piece about coming out of the cave, and it's mm-hmm. and it really has impacted some folks. And it really reminded me of our conversation today. The premise being that this girl was in this cave because she thought she was so scarred and so horrifying all those years. And she turns out, you know, this person who showed up in the story was able to help her come out of the cave and show her own reflection and say, not only are you not horrifying, you're gorgeous, you're beautiful.
That, I mean, that is beautiful to hear. And that reminds me that some of the closets for people are, I'm an artist, but I work as a banker, or I am a writer, or an actor, or a dancer. So there are so many ways to be in the closet, aren't there?
Oh, God. And that's, I really wanted to make sure we got that out. Thank you for saying that, Paul, because again, we've been talking about your very specific, very intense experience of this, but you're right. It's just everywhere. And I feel like that's really where we are is, and I see the work you do with Begin With Yes, and also I want to hear about your new project here, Paul, but I see the work you do, and it is such a beautiful, and you're so gentle with it too, which is wonderful, is to invite people, not push them or kick them, but invite them out of the cave and say, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. You are beautiful, not the shell you've been holding up. So thank you for that, Paul.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for mentioning it.
Well, and tell us briefly, tell us how people can connect with you and also about your new project.
Sure. I think the easiest way for people to connect with me is through Facebook, and I've got a great page called Begin With Yes. I've also got a website with the same name, so if people want to track me down there, they can. The other project that I'm working with that I just started on my last birthday, I was down visiting my kids in Florida. It's great having kids live in Florida because I get to go visit them and get warm. But I had this thought about being gay, but also becoming gray, becoming an older gay man, and how there have been so many shifts, many of which we've been talking about today, and how the experience of being a gay older man now and over the next 10 years is going to be quite different than it has been in the past. And so it's all new territory. I do not have any of the answers. I just hold out the promise, really, of the possibility that we can create a world for older gay people that's different than the world that older gay people have had in the past, which has not always been that great. And it's because the shift in the world, the growing number of people who are willing to have these kinds of conversations. And so I don't know where it's going to take us, but I do believe in the bottom of my heart that it's going to take us to someplace better than where we've been in the past. And So I'm not an expert on it. I just created that page to create a place where people could begin having that conversation. And it's a great page, wonderful people. Many gay, straight people of all different sexual persuasions. And it's another nice little community. So people might be interested in following me there as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And Paul, let's take the last couple minutes here and just pretend that someone is sitting between the two of us and they've just poured out their heart and said, hey, I've got this, whatever it is in their life, you know, mm-hmm. something they really are having a hard time revealing, but it really is so part of their self that they feel like it's time to do it, but they're just terrified. Take the last 90 seconds and just tell them, give them your own perspective on why it's perhaps worth it and how they should see it perhaps.
I think that by the time they've sat there and talk to the two of us about this, they're already out. I can remember the scariest part for me was once I revealed myself to even one person, then I could never go back in the closet completely. And that was scary to me because I'd been in the closet so long. So it's sort of like stepping out into a new world and recognizing that you cannot go back to the old world. So for me, that was a big consideration. You know that I'm a big believer in taking small steps. I don't think people have to take an ad out in the newspaper to announce anything. I think they just have to start looking around at the people that they're closest to, and just in a gentle, slow, at someone's own comfort level, start being more revealing. And you know, the funny thing is, Jacob, is that I promise anybody that will do that will be sitting beside someone who will begin doing it right back to them. And it's like if I reveal a little bit, you'll reveal a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I'll reveal a little bit more. And all of a sudden, we're both more authentic people engaged in a relationship, and the love just flows more easily.
It's fantastic. Reminds me of Ram Dass, who said, "We're all just walking each other home, Paul." And I appreciate you for being one of those who stands up and leads out in that adventure with all of us. Thank you so much for being here, Paul.
Well, thank you. And thank you for walking me home, Jacob.
Bless you and have a wonderful day. All right, blessed Weirdians across the world, wherever you find yourselves, thanks for being with us. And please do connect with Paul Boynton at Begin With Yes. And we are going to close today like we have all of 2013 and ask you to go get your shine on, because it's worth it.